All right. Well, welcome back to Gino Afternoon, made possible with support from Sentinel Coffee, serving Southeast with locally roasted organic coffee and door-to-door delivery. More at sentinelcoffee.com. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today's Gino Afternoon, and we're going to talk chess. And we've got bunches of people in the studio right now to talk about chess, and some people are getting involved at a really young age in chess. We've got Elijah, Lydia, and Kate here, who are all players who are young players of chess, I would say. And then also Colleen Ivanko is here, who helped get this sort of started in Juno. So Colleen, maybe I'll ask you first just a little bit of a background on the chess in Juno. It's Alaska Chess is the name of the organization, and you were saying it's sort of the first chess club, I guess you'd call it, or chess organization happening in Juno. Tell me about it.
Hi. Good afternoon, yeah. Andy. Thanks for having us on. I am the president of Alaska Chess. It's a statewide nonprofit organization, and this is the first club that we started in Juno. The nonprofit started in Homer, and we've been moving around the state, and we've been working. This is our 11th week at the Mendenhall Valley Library, and we're co-sponsored by the library. It's every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m., and these are some of our young players, and I'm really excited to have them on board, and they're really committed, and they're having fun, I think.
Yeah, well, welcome, Elijah. I'll ask you first, just since you're on the left-hand side here. How you doing?
Good.
What got you into it? How long have you been playing chess?
I've been playing since I was about 7, but I never really got into it.
But you knew the rules, and like, what did your mom or dad or someone like that teach you?
Yeah, it was mainly my dad.
Uh-huh.
He played a lot with me, beat me every time. But
yes,
as part of the
that's
learning
how
process.
You learn. Yes, I'm sure that's what he told you. That's how you learn.
Yeah,
and can you beat him now?
Not yet.
Okay,
but that's
it's getting close though. Huh?
Yeah, that's my big time goal.
Okay, that's cool, and. And then, Lydia, let me ask you, how did you get involved? How long have you been playing? Are you pretty new to the game, or have you been playing for a few years?
I've been playing since, like, 7
okay.
or 6, but I haven't been, like, actually competitive playing or anything like that. I just played with my dad and stuff.
Do you remember learning? I mean, is it new enough that you sort of, do you remember, did it seem really confusing at first? Did it seem like it didn't make any sense?
Yeah, or
did
kinda.
It kind of did, yeah. Just kind of learning what all the different pieces and all the different ways they move and all that stuff. Do you play with your mom or your dad? Is that what you were saying?
I play with both, but my dad mainly taught me.
And then do they just always beat you? Or do they sometimes?
Beat both of them.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
Andy, it's not always about winning.
I mean, it's a game.
True. We teach good sportsmanship skills.
Yeah, yeah.
So losing and winning with humility.
Well, yes, but I like the idea of, you know, you start by learning from your parents and then you learn how to beat them. Yes. Kate, how long have you been playing?
Since I was about 5.
Okay. And then what is it about the game that you sort of like? What is it about chess that you think, wow, is there something about it that draws you to it?
I really like just playing it. And the strategy and planning is really fun.
When you say planning, what do you mean by that?
Well, you have to plan like a couple moves ahead.
So you really are, when you're moving that knight, you really are thinking, okay, then next I'm going to move the bishop, and then next I'm going to move. You really are thinking in terms of that? That's one of the things that you kind of learn how to do? Because as long as I played, and I just like kind of know the rules, I've never been able to do that. It's just, I can't figure out how you do that.
Come to the club, Andy.
I know. I guess I should. Well, what are some of the starting ways that you figure out how to do strategy of chess?
Do you remember the opening rules?
Well, one of the main things is you want to control the center. So bring your pieces out and be able to control that center four tiles.
The center, the exact four tiles in the center of the board. That's sort of the place that whoever controls that is controlling the game in a way?
In a way, yeah.
So how do you go about doing that? It doesn't necessarily mean that your pieces are in those four tiles, right?
No. Usually, if you use pawns, they're actually a space behind those four spaces. Or your knights are two or three spaces away from those tiles.
But they have contact with those spaces with the next move they can make.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So no matter what, like, you're controlling. What is it? What's the challenge to doing that then?
The challenge is definitely being cautious enough and not being too ambitious and just going out and then getting that piece taken. I've had that happen lots of times.
Is the first move of chess like the most important move of the game, sort of?
Not always.
But sometimes. Can be, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
So it just depends on which pawn you move or which, you know, right?
Yeah.
So and then I guess there's all these things, right? You know, someone moves one pawn and they go like, it's the Sikorsky defense or it's the, right? It's the things. That's that one thing that I've heard of or know about, right? And there's there's all those ways. Have you guys gotten to where you're sort of studying these famous games and famous strategies?
Kinda.
Did we talk about notation? Do you remember what notation is?
Kinda.
You wanna tell us about it?
Yeah, if you were to describe to me what notation is, what does that mean? What are you doing if you're doing notation?
It's really hard to explain.
Yeah.
It's kind sort of the like narrative of the game, sort of? Is that right? It's the way you describe how the narrative of it goes, and that's kind of it?
Yeah.
I know there's that chess column in newspapers sometimes. Have you ever seen those?
No.
You ever seen those? So I don't know. I mean, this is maybe an old thing, but they basically describe that. They describe a chess game that's going on, and they say, well, this moved here and this moved here, so what would you do? And then you have to think of the proper strategy about, you know, what you would do if those chesses are in that different pieces.
I think we're going to start giving some homework.
Are you? Okay. All right.
I've got a couple of books that I'm reading right now, and there's three of us that make up the nonprofit, and Jonathan Singlar in Anchorage at, you know, APU is writing a book right now and his own curriculum for Alaska.
So. Well, let me ask you, I know you were telling me that you kind of got into doing this because your son got into it and actually ended up kind of teaching you how to play and the basics, right? When he was pretty young, right?
My son's name is Sebastian and he was 5. I was homeschooling him and I thought that it was passing fancy and I was not sure that he was going to take it so seriously and he begged me to play and I said, you know what? I don't know how to play, and it was really hard for me to say that because as an adult, we have a lot of pride when it comes to not knowing, and he said, Mom, I really want to teach you, and I said, I'm going to play. I'm going to learn how to play, and it took me a little while because the communication between a 5-year-old and a mom, an adult, he didn't know how to explain the moves. He didn't know what to say, and so I did my own research, and I looked for resources, and I thought, and I learned how to play, and he kept beating me. And I said, if he's beating me, then he's going to meet other people. And he said, Mom, I really want to make friends. And I said, okay. So we went to the coffee shops and in K-Bay and Homer, and I set out his chessboard, and I said, I'm going to get you a hot chocolate, said, you know, get ready. And I walked around and I said, do you know how to play chess? Do you know how to play chess? Do you know how to play chess? Because I was a homeschooling mom. And I recruited people to play with him. And he developed a lot of confidence in himself. And he found his gift. And that's just enabled me to follow through to support him and other kids
that's
in the
great.
Community. And
great.
I've seen a lot of wonderful, wonderful exchanges in the community, and it breaks a lot of social stigmas and class barriers and just the communication. It's a beautiful game.
There's so many places. Have you guys traveled and seen, like, when you go to places, like, there's cities that'll have chess boards just set up in public parks and things like that, and people just get together and play? Have you seen that?
No, not really.
No? It's pretty neat because, like you say, it's a – it's a place where it seems like people from all different backgrounds and all different type of people get together and they kind of speak this common language.
Yeah. When we were in Florida once, we were driving past and there was a big, like, chessboard painted out on the ground, like on a basketball court.
Oh, yeah.
It's just these massive chess pieces that you'd have to, like, wrap your whole arm around, pick up, and, like, do the crab walk across the board.
I remember that.
That's pretty cool.
Maybe we could get that.
Huh? Yeah, that sounds all right.
What do you think?
That sounds all right.
How about the movie? Do you remember the movie that we were just watching?
Kind of, yeah.
Last Monday.
So the movie that we showed last Monday was called Queen of Katwe. And where, do you remember where the film was taking place?
Somewhere in Africa?
Yeah, it's Uganda, and it's a town, a small town, poor. And do you remember, can you tell us about the plot? Did she come from she came from a slum, right? She was uneducated. Mm-hmm. And she sold, do you remember what she sold during the day? She sold food for her mom. And she ended up becoming well known just because she put a lot of practice and emphasis and study into the game. And it ended up taking her from a position in the slum to being well known, and she ended up going to school, and people invested in her, and she was investing in herself. So, like I said, anybody can play the game.
Right.
And we're really excited now that we're a state affiliate, we're a state chapter.
Yeah, tell me about that. You tell me about how that all works. There's a I wouldn't know that you'd have a state affiliate chapter chess organization, you know. So how does that? How do you go about finding out about that and doing it?
Well, Annie, we believe in chess so much that it's it teaches tools, life skills for these young kids, and so I ended up reaching out to Jonathan Singlar in Anchorage at APU. He's now getting his master's in chess education. And I wanted him to be a coach for my son, and I couldn't find anybody. I called all kinds of places, and he said, well, I can teach him, but I'm in Anchorage. And so it was very difficult to do, but Jonathan was very passionate about chess, and so he said, these are my goals. This is what I want to do. I want to have competitive play in Alaska so that we can get supported by U.S. Chess and United States Chess Federation and get it in the schools. And when I saw the changes in my son, and then I started running clubs in Homer and camps in Homer and getting it into the schools, and from Homer to the Kenai Peninsula to Anchorage, now to Juneau, we donate boards all over the state, and we want these clubs to go into the schools to be scholastic programs so that we can get support and competitive play and get these kids scholarships.
Yeah, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And you're saying there's kind of – you're sort of concentrating on emphasis of getting female players especially to play. It's sort of more – it seems like more boys take to it or want to do it or that kind of thing to start with. Or maybe it's just – maybe boys are just recruited more or something. I don't – tell me about that.
Like any –
you're saying this is a slightly controversial thing within the chess world, right? That this is like – but I think it's sort of – to me it fits in with the idea of recruiting young girls and young women to be in STEM programs and things like that. It sort of is a natural progression from that, it seems
absolutely,
like.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Well, it's empowering. The game is empowering, and it is typically, historically, a male-dominated field. Sometimes girls don't take losing very well. And I've seen in clubs, girls cry, and when they lose, they don't come back. And so I've experienced it personally. I've seen the girls not come back. I think males are typically more dominant when it comes to sports. Maybe dominant isn't the right word. Competitive. And we've seen a lot of change in sports and in chess, and a lot more support. There's been some movements, I want to say globally, with female competition. So there's been articles that have come out. There are some very intense female chess players around the country that have come from, I want to say, Europe. I'm not going to pinpoint, but they're at universities, and they're playing more and they're teaching more and they're getting more verbal. So we have a lot more support with that. Mm-hmm. We've been asked by the Girl Scouts, Alaskan Girl Scouts, to teach chess. I think we did 8 sessions, and the Girl Scouts CEO, I think I'm going to say she was a nuclear scientist, and she knew how to play chess, and she played, and she did really she just supported us, you know, and it was really nice to be invited to those types of things. So 160 Girl Scouts that we were teaching, and they were fierce.
Yeah, that's cool. Wow. Yeah. Are there certain areas or like states within the United States that are known as like powerhouse chess states? Or are there countries that are I've always remember the USSR as having, you know, the Russia and the USSR as being this big, you know, powerhouse for chess. I don't know if it still is.
India is very competitive.
India as well. Okay.
Norway is competitive because of Magnus Carlsen. He's changed his entire community with chess, and now it's a really big draw for tourism.
Wow.
He's the prodigy, the Norwegian prodigy, and there's a movie about him that I would like to show the kids. There's a natural progression with him, and he sees the games as algorithms. And so he sees advanced moves that is really incredible, wow, and which falls right into the STEM program because there's math.
Yeah.
So an advanced thinking.
Well, what do you guys, Kate, I'll start with you. Do you have any goals for chess for the next little bit or even for the next couple of years?
Well, I really want to beat my dad.
There's a book on that, Andy. We can get you that book.
Well, that's a good goal. Yeah. All right. How about you, Lydia? What do you have in mind for what you want to do with the game?
I don't really know, but I really do like playing it.
So maybe just get better and learn more about it?
Yeah. Because I've learned a lot from this, but there's lots more to learn, probably.
Yeah. Elijah, what about you? You already said you definitely have a goal of beating your dad. That's a good one. What else do you have in mind?
I just want to, because I know how to move all the pieces and I know all the rules. I definitely want to get better at like setups and traps and not trapping myself in corners, because I've done that many times against multiple players, including Miss Colleen over here.
What did I tell you? Don't do that. You did it again.
Well, Colleen, anything else you want to say before we kind of wrap up? Any other ways that people maybe can get a hold of being a part of the Alaska Chess Club?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page. You can come to go to Alaska Chess on Facebook, and we have a website, www.alaskachess.org. You can donate on the page, and all the money that we acquire goes to chess sets and travel for the kids to play and for us to really just pay for our gas to get to the clubs and go to the classes. Clankett and Haida Head Start, I will be overseeing 3 of their 7-hour programs this season. So we have partnered with the Chess for Life. We have youth curriculum in those 3 programs. And we would like to monitor the progress in those programs. And it takes support, and we need some funding for that as well. So tournaments, I think the kids, some of them want to be competitive, and it costs money to run the tournaments.
Sure, yeah.
And to get the kids rated, it costs a membership fee. So you can contact me, Colleen Ivanko, ColleenIvanko@yahoo.com, or you can go to our website and donate or contact me through the Facebook page.
Great. Well, Colleen, thanks so much for coming in, and thanks to you guys for coming in, and good luck in your chess endeavors, and good luck beating your dads, both of you guys. That'd be good.
Thank you,
we want to hear next time when that happens. We want to know about it. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.